All right, so we'll say good morning. All right, so we left off. We left off yesterday by the Gemara. By the Gemara. Today's daf is Ayin Zayin. So we left off last three lines, Ayin Vav Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Ein Bo Arba Amai. If it doesn't have four Tvachim, then what? So listen, if you remember again, the Mishnah spoke about if you have a Kosel, if you have a wall between two Chatzeros, the wall itself is 10 Tvachim high, and has a width of four Tvachim. So the halacha in that case is they make two different Eruvim, because again, that's mamish, a separation between the two Chatzeros, and they can't go ahead and make one Eruv. However, again, the Mishnah went on to say that if there's peros, if there's fruit on top of the wall, then lemaise, each members of each chatzer can go up and eat the fruits on the top of the wall, as long as they don't bring the fruits from the top of the wall into their rishus. So the Gemara says, Ein bo arba amai. What happens if the wall doesn't have a width of four tefachim, then what? Amirav, avir shtei rishuya shalat isbo. According to Rav, then literally the airspace of the two chatzeros rules over that top area. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Since it doesn't constitute its own rishus, because it's not for its falcon wide, therefore batal agave tarayu. Therefore, each chatzer, it's batal to each chatzer. Urishus beza chatzero sholat esbo. And therefore, again, the rights of both chatzeros devolve upon the top of that wall. The ostrin ze al ze. And they asked on each other, afilu auro show asula taltel, and therefore he couldn't carry anything even on top of the wall. To which they go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, lo yoziz bo afilu male nema, and therefore as a result you can't move anything. So essentially, since both chatzeros have rights on top of that wall, therefore again neither can carry on that wall, and therefore you can't move anything, even kamali nema, even a hair's breadth on top of that wall. Well, right, so it's not on a tree, it's just sitting on top of the wall. Because if a fruit falls off a tree on Shabbos, it's muktzah. Because remember, muktzah is established at the time that Shabbos starts. The Pasha said, for it to fall off the top of the wall, I guess the Pasha said, I don't know, would that be considered muktzah if that happens? I don't know, because on one end it was set aside for non-use at the onset of Shabbos. It probably was removed from anyone's das, probably would be considered muktzah. Rabbi Yochanan says, "I elu ma'alin mikan va'ochlin."
Wouldn't be set aside for 9 years because you just said that they have rights there.
No, I said they don't have rights there. Both have rights, and therefore neither can use the area. They aser on each other. Remember, this is Erevin. So when two people have rights, but they don't have a joint Erev, they aser on each other, which means that neither could go ahead and use the space. Neither could move anything, which means that the fruits there are essentially inaccessible to both. If they're inaccessible to both, then we would assume one becomes muktzah, because neither has any hopes of being able to use it.
But and it's a tangent, but isn't food, isn't the cloth for food, that it's not muktzah?
No.
Okay.
No, not necessarily. Okay. If food is actively set, I'm just, generally that would be true. The shayla is over here where it's set aside for non-use. It's in an area where no one could essentially access it. Unless you could say that maybe Beit HaShemashah.
That's set aside for non-access. They have the right in it. They each have rights.
Right, but their joint rights cancel out each other. Neither of them could use the... If you're on one chatzar, I'm on the other chatzar, neither of us could take the orange off the top of the roof. Rabbi Yochanan says, Elu ma'alin mikan va'ochlin, ve'elu ma'alin mikan va'ochlin. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, just the opposite. These could go... Well, not just the opposite, but Rabbi Yochanan says that this chatzar can go up and eat, and this chatzar could go up and eat. Excuse me. Elu ma'alin mikan va'ochlin, ve'elu ma'alin mikan va'ochlin. Each group could go up and eat on the top of the wall. Look at Rashi. Ma'alin nechatzir on the rosho, v'hu adin demoridin demakom p'toru. So Rabbi Yochanan actually says that lamaisa you could actually go up to the top of the wall and you could bring down from the top of the wall as well into your chatzir. So the Gemara says the reason for that is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is because since it lacks the width of four tefachim, he calls it a makom p'tur, an exempted area, and therefore you could technically carry from an exempted area to your own chatzar and vice versa. So the Gemara says, Tanan, Eilu olin mikan va'ochlin, ve'elu olin mikan va'ochlin. So we look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that in a situation where the wall lacks the width of four tefachim, then from this chatzar they can go up and get the fruit, and from this chatzar they can go up to get the fruit. So the Gemara is medayik, excuse me, olin in, ma'alin lo. We could be medayik, what could they do? They can go up to the wall and eat it in the area of the wall, but they may not bring it down from the wall into their own rishus. To which the Gemara says, "Hachi kamar." This is what it means to say, "Yesh bo arba al arba." If the wall has a shear of four tzvachim, right? So we're talking about width now. The wall has four tzvachim. Olin in, ma'alin lo. They can go ahead and go up to the top of the wall and consume the fruit in that rishus. However, they may not take it down into their chutzah, because that would be tantamount to removing the fruit from one rishus to another. However, ein bo arba al arba. But if the top of the wall does not have a width of four tzvachim, then what? Ma'alin nami. Then once it doesn't have four tzvachim, then Lamaisa will say that's a makom p'tur. And once it's a makom p'tur, then what? You can carry to it and you can carry from it. Va'azdir Rav Yochanan latane. And Rav Yochanan goes according to his already established reasoning. What did he say? Dechi asar Rav Dimi amar Rav Yochanan. Because when Rav Dimi came along, he said name Rav Yochanan. Makom she'in bo arba al arba. If you have an area that does not have four tzvachim by four tzvachim, muter libnei rush sarabim. So we actually had this already in Shabbos. That if you have an area that doesn't have four tzvachim, which essentially means it's a makom p'tur, then what? Well, remember, the case where we actually had this was where you had pillars. You had pillars ultimately that were 10 tzvachim high, but did not have a width of four tzvachim. So what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said that if you have a makom that's not arba al arba, muter libnei rush sarabim libnei rush sayokh lekhasif alav. So both the people of the Rosh Hashanah as well as the Rosh Sarabim could use that area to what? To adjust their loads. However, Ubilvad Shalo Yachli Fenu. As long as what? They don't exchange loads. I mean, on both sides, the one thing is you can't exploit a Makom Ptur to transport an item between a Rosh Hashanah and a Rosh Sarabim. So you can go ahead and you could use it for everything else. You could go ahead and everybody could use it, but you can't use it as a portal for transfer. So we'll say, so this is what Rabbi Yochanan is therefore saying. If the top of the wall doesn't have an area of four tzvachim, then Lamaitz, again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, two cases. If the top of the wall is an area of four tzvachim, then it's a separate rishus, assuming it has the height of 10. Then you could go up to eat the fruit that's there, which you can't bring it down to your rishus. If it doesn't have a width of four tzvachim, then it's a makom p'tur, which means you could take stuff up and you could bring stuff down. So the Gemara now says, V'rav, lesay de Rav Dimi. Now, does Rav not hold the Rav Dimi? So also remember, Rav said what? Rav was the first opinion in the Gemara. And Rav said that when it doesn't have arba, and it doesn't have a width of four tefachim, shtei rishuyos shel tosfot, both chaseros have rights, which ultimately means both chaseros essentially prohibit each other. So according to Rav, you can't bring anything up, and you can't bring anything down. Not only that, according to Rav, you can't even what? You can't even move something on top of the wall itself. I mean, you can't even, let's say, sit on top of the wall and move the fruit itself or eat the fruit itself. So does Rav not hold of this concept of Rav Dimi that you could use a makom p'tur? So the Gemara says like this, Ibirushuyos d'araisa hachinami. If we were talking about biblical domains, Rushuyos d'araisa, enachinami, Rav would agree. Hacha b'mayaskinon, what are we talking about over here? Birushuyos d'rabanon. We're talking about rabbinic domains. We're supposed to look at Rashi for just a moment. Rudrabanan chatseros. Dirushus yachid di yachidu. Umidrabanan huda asr. So we'll say, remember, technically speaking, when we speak about chatser to chatser, midda araisa, there's no problem carrying from chatser to chatser. Because midda araisa, there's no problem carrying from one rishus yachid to another rishus yachid. The rabbis, the rabbanan came along and regozer on chatseros. So what does Rav say? The chachamim asu chizuk lidireim yoser mishal Torah. Rav is of the opinion that in matters of rabbinic law, sometimes the rabbis made their laws more stringent even than the oraisas in order to establish the staying power of the halacha. So Rav says something fascinating. Rav says, you're right, in normal rishuyos de oraisa, I would agree with everything that we said. But because we're dealing with rishuyos de rabbanan, i.e. chaseros, Rav says, I'm going to be more machmir, chazal or more machmir than the regular cases of rishuyos, and therefore what? And therefore, even an area is technically a makom p'tur, Rav says that you may not carry to it or from it. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman. Kosel shebein shtei chatzeros. An interesting case. You have a wall between two chatzeros. Sido echad gava asar tefachim, v'tsido echad shavel arat. So we'll say, listen to this. So you have a wall that's between two chatzeros, but the two chatzeros themselves are not on the same level. Not on the same level. So what happens? On one side of the kosel, the wall is more than 10 tefachim or more from the ground of the chatzer. And on the other side, it says shavlat. Now, it says shavlat doesn't literally mean it's even with the ground, because then there's no kosel. Rather, what it means is it's not 10 tefachim. say, if you have the picture books, you can see this is actually a good picture over here. This is 249. 249. If you could see it again, it's not the complicated case. So you can see over here, the wall is over here. This chatzar essentially is at an elevation. This chatzar is at a lower point. So for the chatzar that's on the lower area, the lower grade, so the wall is 10 tefachim high. For the chatzar that's of the higher grade, so then let's say it doesn't matter, it's 3 tefachim, 4 tefachim, you can fill in the blank, whatever it is. It's just not 10. So the Gemara now asks, so the Gemara says, Nosnin oso lezesh shava la'aretz. We go ahead and we give the wall. Now what does it mean that we give the wall? It means we go ahead and really we give the top of the wall. We're asking now in this case, where the two chatzeros are not even to the wall, who gets the right of usage on the top of the wall? So the Gemara says, in this case, the chatzer of the higher elevation gets the use of the top of the wall. Why? Mishum dahavi lezeh tashmisho benachos, ulezeh tashmisho bekasha. Because for one chatzer, use of the top of the wall is easier, and for one it's more complicated. So we'll say, what does that mean? For the chatzer that's lower, so therefore the top of the wall is higher, access to the top of the wall is not as easy, as opposed to the chatzer that has the higher grade. So going ahead and using the top of the wall is much easier. So the Gemara says, anytime you have two chatzeros that have access to a common area, and the chol is zeb nachos, ul zeb bekasha, and for one of them it's easier to use it, area, particular area, and for one of them it's more complicated, no snim oso lezeh shetashmisho benachos. We give the rights of usage to the one who has an easier usage of that area. So in this case, we will give the top of the wall to the higher chatzar, because the higher chatzar has an easier usage of the top of the wall. Similarly, Amar of Shizvi, Amar of Nachman, chatzar shebein shtei chatzeros. If you have a chatzar in between two chatzeros, tzido echod amuk, Choritz shebein shtei chatzeros. So we'll say this is a furrow. Furrow is the wrong word.
A ditch.
Good, thank you. A ditch in between two chatzeros. Sido echad amok. This is the same case. Same case, just the opposite. If that makes sense. Right? This is just the reverse case. Instead of a wall, it's dealing with a ditch. So you have two chatzeros. A choritz, a ditch in between them. Sido echad amok asara. On one side, on one chatzer, so the ditch is 10 tefachim deep. Vitzido echad shavel aretz. In the other case, the chatzer is equal. Of course, equal doesn't mean equal. It just means that the ditch is not 10 tefachim. So we'll say this is just the opposite case over here. So again, here you have same basic idea. Here you have the ditch in between. This chatzer is higher. This chatzer is lower. Just the opposite case of the wall. Different dimensions. The same concept. So the Gemara says, Nosten oso lezeh sheshava la'aretz. We give the rights, the usage rights of the ditch to the chatzar that is lower, mishum dahava lezeh tashmisho benachos, lezeh tashmisho bekasha, because for one of the chatzeros, usage of the ditch is easier, and for one of them it's more complicated, and this is v'chule. V'chule means the Gemara says, we quote the same principle, which is what? Anytime you have an area open, accessible to two other areas, two chatzeros, and for one chatzer it's easier to use the area, for the other area it's not easy, it's more difficult, we give the usage of the area to the area that has a more unencumbered, easier usage of the particular area.
It's more than four tefachim wide.
Four tefachim, Pashtos, I don't know, the Gemara doesn't actually qualify that over here. I'm not sure that matters as much.
Otherwise it's lovely.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't be lovely because you still have an area, you still have 10 tefachim. You still have height. You still have height even if you don't have width.
Is this a Shabbos issue? Do you give usage that they're letting, it's like they're...
Right now it's Shabbos, although it could have also other choshen mishpat and yonim in terms of who actually gets the right sense. But right now the discussion is the Gavi Shabbos.
That's for taking things up and down.
Correct. That is correct. Right now it's limited to Shabbos. So we'll say, so the obvious question now is, why do we need both of these cases? Meaning, the only difference over here is that one is a wall going up, one is a wall going down, but the principle is the same. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Tzrichi, you need both cases. Why? Because I would say, maybe, if you only told me about the case of the wall, because it's common for a person to use the top of the wall. Right? A person uses that area on the top. However, but apparently when it comes to the ditch, it wasn't as common for a person to go ahead and use that the ditch itself. The ditch itself. If we're just telling me the first case by the wall, because by wall is common usage, people use the top of the wall. Therefore, it's shaykh to say who gets it, who doesn't. But when it comes to a charetz where people don't really use the inside of the ditch, emalo, I might have said that one chaser doesn't get any more rights than the other. Look at Rashi. Emalo, mishteri, dilididei nami tash misho bekashu. I might have thought that maybe in the case of a ditch, because people don't normally use it, just because one is lower, one is higher, both of them are considered to be what? Tash mishasan kasha. It's difficult usage for both, and neither should have any more rights than the other. Viashmo inon, and if it would have told me, becharetz, in the case of the charetz, mishum delo biasa tash mishasa. Because it was said literally, there's not a fear in usage. Not a fear in usage. Look at Rashi, lo biasa tash mishasa, mashamaniach ba mishtamer. Because whatever you go ahead and you put in the ditch remains in the ditch. Aval kosel de ba isa tash mishasa. But when it comes to the wall where there might be a little bit of a hesitancy in use, why would there be a hesitancy in use? Rashi says, because what could happen when you put stuff on the top of the wall? It falls down. So I might have thought, therefore, in that case, that's both called Tash Mishas on Kasha, therefore, Eimalo, and therefore, I would have thought no one has any more rights than the other, therefore, Tzvicha. Therefore, Rabbi say, even though both cases sound similar, Lemaisa, the Gemara needs to illustrate the same principle in two different cases, because one could not have been learned out from the other. So I will say, what comes out from the Sugi, however, is Lemaisa, this idea that when you have this area accessible to two people, and one of them is Tashmishasan Kasha, one of them is Tashmishasan Benachas, one of them is easier use, one of them is more complicated use, the area is awarded to the individual who has easier use. And again, as Sili pointed out, as Rashi points out over here, when Rashi says, Nosnin Oso, Lahalos Ulahorid Me'alov. This is Dafka talking about over here, usage Lagabe Shabbos. This is Gavi Shabbos, then the area is awarded to the person who has easier use.
But
no, we're gonna get to ladders right now. We're gonna get to ladders is another case. Right now, the assumption is there's no ladders, no ladders. So the Gemara says, "Balimato." We're gonna spend a lot of time on ladders. Balimato. If a person wants to go ahead of Osai and diminish the height of the wall, so look at Rashi for just a moment. Balimait. Rashi says, "Akosol koi." I want to diminish the height of the wall. V'kasaka daitcha she'asa tel ofer lemata v'karko samuch l'kosel obane itzdava ohimiach sham paspasim. So also listen to this. So now, what do I want to do? I want to diminish the height of the wall. Now, why would you want to diminish the height of the wall? So let's say, again, you want to go ahead and make an eruv between the two chatzeros. Remember, as the Mishnah said, if you have a wall that's 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, there's nothing doing that. That is a barrier. That is an eruv barrier. So let's say now I want to diminish the height of the wall. So the way I want to diminish the height of the wall is I want to build at the base of the wall, thereby diminishing the height from the base up. And therefore, the reason I would do that is that would allow me to ultimately make an eruv with the next chaser. So bolimato, I want to diminish the height of the wall. Or for that matter, also what it would allow me to do is it also would allow me to use the top of the wall. That's the truth. It's two different ramifications. It would allow me to make an eruv and allow me to use the top of the wall. So the Gemara says, if I go ahead and I diminish the height of the wall over a length of 4 tefachim of the wall, then what you lishtamish b'chala kosel? Then I could go ahead and use the wall in its entirety. Look at Rashi, im yesh b'miut ol dalid orech b'tzad meshach hakosel havi kepesah. So Rabbi, if you can imagine for a moment, let's say I'm building a platform. So I'm going to build a platform that's going to diminish the height of the wall to less than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, as long as the width of that platform is at least, when I say width, you understand what I mean? I don't mean the protrusion, length of it. Length of, I say width. It runs along, right?
It runs parallel.
Right, it's the length of the wall. I'm sorry, right? It runs along, as long as it runs along 4 tefachim of the length of the wall, Rashi says, Havi kepesach, that essentially creates like an opening, like an entranceway, doorway, v'cheivan dimimenu ulamala, lo gavo asara, and since from that platform and above, it's not ten tefachim, mishtamish b'chala kosel, I could use the wall, shari tashmisho b'nachos, sha'ole lo derech pischo. Because now again, usage of the top of the wall will become permitted, why? Because it's considered to be tashmishoso b'nachos, it's an easier usage, why? Because l'maisa, now I have, so to speak, a doorway. I have a doorway, I have an entranceway, I have an ability to use the top of the wall, b'nachos. So the Gemara says, v'imlav, and if, however, if again, the platform does not span 4 tefachim of the length of the wall, Ein mishtamish ela kineged hamiut. So we'll see, here's what's interesting. When you establish a Pesach, so to speak, of four tefachim, that allows you to use the wall in its entirety. You have to use the entire top of the wall. However, again, if the length of the platform, the Pesach, ultimately is less than four tefachim, then what do we say? Interestingly enough, we don't say like it's non-existent. Instead, what we say is, you could only use that area opposite the actual Pesach. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Marashach. I ahani ni'uta b'kulei kos ha-mishtamish. Ilo ahani afilu kinegen amiyot. So let's say, that's strange. And usually we reckon the wall as one entity. So either the Pesach works to allow for the usage of the top of the wall, or it doesn't. It's strange to say that if it's four tefachim, you can use the entire top. But if it's less than four tefachim, you can use the opposite, you can use the area opposite the Pesach. Meaning we assume again the status of the wall is one. There's one uniform status of the wall. So either it's good or it's not good. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry?
Does it matter who built it or paid it? Built it?
No, let's assume it's a joint wall. Joint wall. Amar Ravina. Kigon, that's a Choshen Mishpat discussion. Amar Ravina, because again, remember, walls were generally built the way they used to do. It was on people's, everybody would donate a certain amount of area of their chatzur to build the wall on it. So that's by definition. Meaning if you and I build a wall and I choose to recess the wall into my rishos, that's not really a shiloh, then it's my wall. The assumption always is that it straddles the boundary line between the two chatzeros. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina. Amar Ravina, if you go and Sha'akar Chulio Mirosho. So Ravina said, no. The case, interestingly enough, is not where you're building up from the base. The case is where you took down bricks from the top. Interesting. That we assumed that the way that you were diminishing the height was building up. So the Gemara says, no, we all know there's the easiest way to go ahead and make the wall shorter is there's a lot of metaphoric meaning in this as well, building up or tearing down. But the idea over here is that the case here is that you're going ahead and removing bricks from the top. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. Amar Ravina, lav milamata askinan. We're not dealing with building up from the bottom. The hasam vadai bitzir medal lo mehani. Because I will say again, lemaisa, if you were to go ahead and make a platform of less than four tefachim, it certainly would not work. Lemidi, for anything. And look, you're going shakar chulio meroshomi gov hoshal kosel. You took down bricks from the height of the wall. So the Gemara says, kari rosho, kidisnan, hoi rosho, peros hilchach, I havi miuta arba orech, havi kepischa lachal kosel. So something very interesting. You're right. When you're building a platform, so the platform is only one of there's only one or two possibilities. If it's four tefachim, if it goes along four tefachim of the length, if it has a length of four tefachim, then that's a real Pesach. If it's a real Pesach, then what? Then you could use the top of the wall in its entirety. And if what? If it's less than four tefachim, then what's the status of the platform? Nothing. However, again, if you are removing bricks from the top of the wall, then Einachinami, if you removed a length of four tefachim of bricks, then that's a Pesach, that allows for usage of the entire top of the wall. But if you only removed bricks in less than an area of four tefachim, then what? Then that allows you to use that particular area, but not the rest of the wall. Why? Because Lemaisa, in that one particular area, the Metzius is what? That the wall is not 10 tefachim high. Amar Avichil, Kafa Safal Memait. Avichil said, if you take a safal, so we'll say, look at Rashi, kafa safal, samuch lekosel, umiyet gavoa me'asara, kol hani mi'uti kagun deleko yom yoshol rosh hakosel. So we'll say, so safal is like a pot. So you go ahead and you take a pot, and you overturn the pot. You overturn the pot right at the base of the wall. So what have you effectively done? You've created a step stool, right? So you've created, you're trying to, so now you've diminished the height of the wall, right by the area of the pot, in the hopes of making a Pesach. So the Gemara says, Mimait, it works. Va'amai. But why is that so? Davra hanitl b'Shabbos, a safal asenit can be carried on Shabbos. The davra hanitl b'Shabbos eino mimait. So we'll say in general, the klal is that if something can be carried on Shabbos, then by definition it's not permanent. If it's not permanent, then it can't really serve as a miut for the wall. To which the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha dechavrei ba'ara." No, the case is where you embedded it in the ground. You literally attached it to the ground. And I will say the assumption of what it means is you attached the ground is you buried it in some dirt. You buried it in dirt, and therefore that by definition makes it fixed. So the Gemara says, "One second, dechavrei ba'ara, my havi." So who cares if you buried it in the ground? What does that matter? After all, the Hatanya, also we had this earlier. Paga shet mina b'teven. If you have a paga is an unripe date. that you buried in straw. They put it in straw in order to go ahead and ripen it. Straw is mukta. Or v'charora shehitmina begacholim. Or you go ahead and you have a biscuit, a charora that you put in coals, let's say prior to Shabbos, and now you want to remove the biscuit. Immegulam itzasa no telis b'Shabbos. So we had this before, that lemaisa, if as long as one part of the fig or one part of the biscuit is exposed, so that you can grab the exposed part, then what, you can pull it out, even though what? Even though the straw or the coals are going to slide off. That was what we called tiltul minatzad. Tiltul minatzad, right? Indirect movement of mukta, which is okay. So the Gemara says, huh? So why is the Gemara bringing this up? Because even if the pot is buried in dirt, you should still be able to move it. And even though dirt might move, that's tiltul minatzad. Hacham, I ask, you know, what's the case over here? The isle ognayim. Oh, it has ognayim. So if it has ognayim, that's different. We'll say, what's ognayim? Ognayim essentially means like a lip. Like a lip. So what does that mean? That the pot itself has, if you can imagine, you don't have to imagine, it's a lip, right? So the pot has a rim. So what does that mean? The rim is bent. So what happens, remember the pot's upside down, you covered it with dirt, which means that when you lift up the pot, what's going to happen? There's going to be dirt that's going to remain with it in the rim. So meaning it's not the pshat that when you pick it up, the dirt slides off. The dirt is going to remain in the rim, which means ultimately it's not just tiltul minatzad, it's going to be active tiltul mukta. If that's the case on the mice, you cannot move it on Shabbos. So also remember, for our purposes, it's good. We don't want to be able to remove it, because inability to remove it ultimately means that lemaisa, it's fixed in place. If it's fixed in place, then it serves as a real miut. So the Gemara says, "Dechi isle ognayim mayhavi." So even if it has a lip, who cares? V'hatznan, but we learned. Hatomin lefes, utznon tachas hagefen. If a person buries a turnip or a radish underneath a grapevine, Narashi points out over here, the reason you're burying it is lahatznia, to keep it, right, to preserve it. So the halacha is bizman shemiktas olin megulin, when some of the leaves are revealed or are still exposed, in a choshesh, a person doesn't have to worry lo mishum kilayim, either because of forbidden mixtures. Also, what does that mean? Remember, you're planting this item over here, you're burying this radish or this gourd in a vineyard. In the vineyard, under normal circumstances, you can't plant other things together with the vineyard. So the Gemara says, but in this case over here, as long as some of the leaves are exposed, you don't have to worry because of forbidden mixtures of kilayim, nor do you have to worry about meiser. Also, what that means is that you don't have to be choshesh, that maybe when you reburied it, it grew a little bit more, and therefore you'd be obligated to retithe it. V'lo mishum shvius, and if you did this in a shmita year, this is not called working the ground during a shmita year. V'nitolin b'shabbos, and not only that, but what? It could go ahead and be removed on Shabbos. Take a look at Rashi, Rabbi Osai. The Gemara says, "Miktas alav megulin mishum Shabbos nakidla the boyle misn nitalin b'Shabbos shenotlin va'oksin ba'olin shalahen." So Osai, the idea is we see by Shabbos what, that even if something is partially buried, as long as lemaisa, you have a permitted way to go ahead and remove it from the dirt, even if some of the dirt is going to come with it, we're not worried about that. If that's the case, then how does the pot case work? Through which the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha deboi mara v'chatzina." No. The case over here is where you didn't just bury this pot; you buried the pot to the point that what? That to be able to go ahead and actually unearth it, you'd have to use a shovel and a hoe. You'd have to use farming instruments. So once you have to use farming instruments, that's obviously aser on Shabbos, and therefore lemaisa is considered to be fixed in its place. Because it's considered to be fixed in its place, then what? Then lemaisa is considered to be a proper, it's bottle there, and therefore it could be mamait. It could successfully diminish the height of the wall. Sulam ha-mitzri inu mamait v'atzri mamait. So we'll say now the Gemara just brings in what appears to be a random, it's getting now into ladders a little bit. An Egyptian ladder, does not go ahead and successfully diminish the height of the wall, but a ladder from the city of Tzur does have the ability to go ahead and diminish the height of the wall. Look at Rashi just a moment, Rabbozai. Sulam ha-mitzri, ho'il v'katanhu. So we'll say, remember, when we say diminish the height of the wall, what we're saying is a ladder essentially will have the status of a Pesach, will have the status of an entrance. Right? And therefore, again, we'll see that under certain circumstances will allow you, first of all, to make a Reuven. We've already seen cases of where ladders could join two chatzeros, and will also allow you to use the top of the wall. So therefore, the Gemara says over here, the Sulam HaMitzri apparently is very small. It's very small. And therefore, again, Benoach Litlo, Misham Eno Mait, and therefore it's very easily moved, and therefore Lemaisa, it doesn't create a Pesach. So Amri Dvei Rabbi Yanai, Kol She'in Lo Arba Chavokim. So Rabbi Yanai says, excuse me, Hechidam Yisrael HaMitzri. What's the case of Yisrael HaMitzri? So the Gemara says, Amri Dibei Rabbi Yanai, Kol She'in Lo Arba'a Chavokim. Whatever doesn't have four Chavokim, four rungs. I'll say, if you take a look, there's a picture of this in the back. I mean, you don't need too much imagination for this. This is picture 253. So picture 253 in the back is a ladder without four rungs. Who would have thought? It's okay, so the Chavuk Rabosai is that, again, the idea is that it's this smaller ladder. Because it's a smaller ladder, it's very easily moved. Because it's very easily moved, then Lamaisa is not considered to be a Pesach. Amrli Rav Acha Brei D'Rav Lo Rav Ashi. My time of the Sulam HaMitzri de lo memayit. Why is it that in the case of the Sulam HaMitzri, that it's not memayit, that it does not go ahead and in any way diminish the height of the wall? Amar lei lo shmiya lecha hada amar av acha bar ada amar av hamula amar av mishum da havilei darash nitl b'shabbos. So he said to him, did you not hear which was said, that which was said in the name of Rav, that lemaisik and Abos said the reason why the Sulam HaMitzri is not memayit is because it's a davar hanitl b'shabbos. Because it's a davar hanitl b'shabbos, then what? Because it could be moved. Therefore, again, Rabbi says, goes back to the pot case. So because it's a davar hanitl b'shabbos, therefore lemaisa, it's not considered to be a proper meal, the proper Pesach. V'chol davar shenitl b'shabbos eino memayit. Rabbi said the only things that could successfully diminish the height of the wall are what? Are items that are fixed in place, at least for Shabbos. At least for Shabbos. We'll see. It doesn't have to be permanently olam vayed, but it has to be enough that for Shabbos you wouldn't be able to move it. But in this case, the Sulam HaMitzri is not fixed in place, and because of that, Lemaisa does not provide a proper miut. Iyachi, if that's the case, Afilu Tsurinami. If that's the case, then even the ladder from Tsur, which Rabbi Rabbi said was not a massive ladder either, you should be able, meaning the fact we're assuming now, that that's also not fixed in place, because it's not fixed in place, and therefore also should not be memait, the height of the wall, to which the Gemara says, no, that case is different. Why? Hasam kovdo kovo. Very interesting statement. Apparently, whereas the Sulam HaMitzri, the Egyptian ladder, is very light, the Sulam HaTsuri is very heavy. Because it's very heavy, then lemaisa, people don't move it. So because of its weight, it remains fixed in place, and because it's not normally moved, that by definition allows it to have a semi-permanent status, and because of that, lemaisa is considered to be a proper Pesach, i.e. miut. Amar Abaye, kosel shebein shtei chaseros, gavoa asar tvachim. So we'll say now another interesting case. So you have a wall between two chaseros, very interesting case actually. A wall between two chaseros that's 10 tvachim high, v'hiniach sulam rachav arba'a mikan, v'sulam rachav arba'a mikan. And what do? You go ahead and you place two ladders, one on each side, and on each side the ladder is 4 tefachim wide. Okay, so also you can see, this is picture 254. Picture 254, if you have the picture book. So again, wall 10 tefachim high, ladders are each 4 tefachim wide, and you're placing the ladders on each side of the chatzer. Now one more piece to this. Well, I'm sorry? Each side of the wall. What did I say?
It's okay.
Right, each, right. In each, I'm sorry. My point is right. There on each side of the wall, i.e., in each chaser. Ve'ein bein zeluze shlosha tefachim. Now, also the other half of this is that there is less than 3 tefachim between the ladders themselves. So again, 10 tefach high wall ladder, which obviously exceeds that height, and less than 3 tefachim between the two ladders. We're going to get to that. So the Gemara says memait. Memait. So therefore, again, lemaisa, there was a now. It has to mean that there's less than 3 tefachim of the in the wall, because lemaisa, if the wall itself is more than four tefachim, then that by definition will mean the ladders themselves will be more than 3 tefachim apart. Although we'll see, not necessarily true if the ladders are tall enough, right? So we're going to get to that. Right now, all we're saying is that lemaisa there's not 3 tefachim between the ladders. In that case, Rabbi Osai, memait. Then that successfully diminishes all. Now, also remember, memait over here means different things. Until now, we've been using the word memait when speaking about the height of the wall. Right? Now, when we use the word memait, what memait is actually telling us is that what? Is that this type of arrangement would diminish the dimensions of the wall, i.e., that you'd be able to have a joint, you'd be able to have a joint eruv between these two chatzeros, as well as usage of the top of the wall. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ve'in bein zeh lezeh gimel, kilomar, afilu inon mechuvan en zeh kineged zeh. Well, so the chap over here is, the two ladders aren't necessarily opposite one another. So the idea is that, remember, they don't have to actually line up with each other, but the idea over here is that they are not, they are less than three tzvachim from each other. If they're less than three tzvachim from each other, then kimuchuvanim, then they are like, they are exactly opposite each other, and therefore v'havi pesach, it's like you have an opening. V'im rotsu ma'arvin echot. We'll say the chab over here now, that's why I said miut over here means something different. Miut over here means you've successfully diminished the dimensions of the wall, so that what? That if the two chatziros want to join in one eruv, they can. Aval meruchokin ze mikineged ze gimel tvachim la pesachu. But if for argument's sake, the ladders are more than three tvachim from each other, right? Therefore, there's really a sense where we're saying is there's no lavud, then what? You would not be able to make one joint eruv. However, shlosha eino menait. I'm sorry. Height of the wall. Height of the wall. Usage of the top of the wall. No, it's not only. It could also mean joint eruv. But the focus over there was really on the top of the wall, as opposed to in this case, mema'it means that you've successfully diminished the dimensions to make a joint eruv. For lo amran ela delo havi kosel arba. Now both say this is only said when the width of the wall is not four tefachim. Aval havi kosel arba. But if the width of the wall is four tefachim, then listen to this. Afilu muflog tuva nami. Then even if the ladders are far apart, so we'll say, what's going on over here? So this is another picture, if you want, over here. This is 255. So all that's showing you in 255 is essentially the main dramatic difference is that the width of the wall is four tefachim, and you can see over here in this picture that the ladders are much more than three tefachim apart. So in this case, again, if, as long as the width of the wall is four tefachim, nevertheless, it still works. Now, why does it still work? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "V'lo amran ele bekosel tzar sheinoach lahalech alav." So, however, aval yesh beroch vol dalid afilu muflog shari ole l'rosho umahalech berosho ad shemagil usmuch berosho. Listen to how fascinating this is. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. What are we trying to do? We're trying to join the two chatzeros. Right? We're trying to make it that the two chatzeros are connected so we can make one eruv. So the Gemara says like this. If the wall is less than four tefachim wide, then in order for the chatzeros to be considered joint, what do you need? You need the ladders to essentially be connected. How are they connected? If, as long as they're within three tefachim of each other. But if the top of the wall is more tefachim wide, I will say, what does that do for us if the wall is more than four tefachim wide? That makes the top of the wall easily accessible and usable, including for walking purposes. Once you have that, then what? Then you have a greater accessibility chatzer to chatzer. If that's the case, says the Gemara, then all you really need is what? You need a ladder on both sides. Oh, and then even if what? Even if the ladders are not within three tefachim of each other, the chatzeros are still considered to be connected. Why? Because on one hand, you have entranceways to both chatzeros, i.e. ladders, plus the width of wall that makes it easily traversable. You put all of those ingredients together, and what do you have? You have a joint chatzer that could, technically speaking, join in one cohesive eruv. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bar Abaye. So we'll say, let's do one more case. Amar Rabbi Bar Abaye. So now, again, same cases. You're going ahead and you're building a platform on top of a platform. So we'll say, why are you doing this? You're doing this because you want to diminish the height of the wall. Again, this is picture 256. So you're looking to go ahead and diminish the height of the wall. And what happens? So the Gemara says, if the bottom platform has a length of four tefachim, then memai, then it successfully diminishes the height of the wall. Inami in betachtona arba, the yesh be'alyona arba. We'll say, what happens if the bottom itzva doesn't have the length of four tefachim, but what? But the one on top of it does. So we'll say the way the Gemara is setting up this case is, if you can imagine, the upper itzva, the upper platform has legs. So it sits on top of the bottom itztava, and there's an airspace. So in case number one, the bottom itztava has a length of four tefachim, easy. It's memait the wall. Let's say in case number two, the bottom itztava does not have four tefachim, but the upper itztava does. So what happens? The Gemara says ve'ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha. And let's say, for argument's sake, there's not three tefachim between the upper itztava and the lower itztava. Then what? Then lemaisa memait. Then it has the ability to what? It has the ability to go ahead and diminish the height of the wall. Essentially, all the Gemara is saying over here is, if the Barat Itztava has the requisite shiurim, and the Barat Itztava does not. And what's the chap over here, Bosai? The chap over here is that the upper Itztava may be more than three tefachim off the ground, but it's what? It's within three tefachim to the bottom Itztava. And then listen to this chap. We'll say the upper Itztava is lover to the bottom itztava, which is lover to the ground. And therefore, essentially, when you combine all of these things, it creates a proper miut to diminish the height of the wall. All right, so we'll stop over here. Okay,